Bumpy week on Wall Street, busy week on Capitol Hill. Time to visit with our gurus of gravitas. E.J. Dionne, a columnist for The Washington Post. He joins us from Raleigh, North Carolina. Hi, E.J.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. And David Brooks of The Weekly Standard, who's here in the studio with us. David, hi.
I thought we were posers of gravitas, but go ahead.
Oh, I got it wrong. I'm sorry. They're here for a rundown of the past few days' worth of events. We're glad to have you here. The stock market was so wiggly this week that people I know very well were standing in front of television sets watching those numbers, the numbers crawling underneath, and going like this as if we were doing heavy lifting to get it higher. And you know what? It worked. There were moments.
I saw you selling apples on the street corner.
Well, listen, there's been a lot of talk that this administration's economic team is floundering, and we've heard all kinds of comments in recent days from the president, but not much from anybody else in the administration. So, EJ, what is going on there?
Well, I've been expecting the president to come out and give a speech with the words, "The era of big business is over." Mm. The Republicans are desperate to reposition themselves on this. And I think the core problem they have is there are certain deep assumptions that people have in their heads about politics that are very difficult to shake. Democrats are the party of big government, Republicans as the party of big business. And when you get into a combination of a business scandal, which we have with CEOs on the griddle, and a falling stock market or a jittery stock market, that's when the whole set of issues that people are talking about become harmful to the Republicans. And the Republicans clearly know this. John Mitchell, Nixon's attorney general, said, don't listen to what we say, watch what we do. Mm-hmm. The Republicans essentially capitulated to Senator Sarbanes' bill, a corporate reform bill, and they just want to get on the right side of this, much as Clinton all those years ago wanted to get on the right side of the big government issue.
David, you're probably the wrong person to put this question to, given the givens, but is it a matter of public relations problems or policy problems?
I'd say fundamentally it's a policy problem. It's important to clarify exactly what the problem for the Republicans is. It's not the scandals. A lot of Democrats hate George Bush and Dick Cheney and think if we can only get the country to hate them as much as we do, we'll win elections. Having watched Republicans trying to get the country to hate Bill Clinton, let me tell you, it's not going to work. It's not even the economy fundamentally. The economy grew 6.1% in the first quarter, about 3% in the second quarter. So that's not the problem. Mm-hmm. The problem is the uncertainty. Someday toward November, people are going to ask this question: what are you going to do to make us feel secure? And the problem for the Republicans is they don't have an answer. What are they going to say? We'll cut capital gains taxes, we'll deregulate, we'll shrink the size of government, we'll reform Social Security. All those things, I think, are all good, but they're all politically off the table. So they've got to come up with something to say, and if they don't do that, then they could be in trouble in November. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's tremendous fear that the answer, this having something to say, will not be an economic one, but a military one, that you bomb someplace.
Well, I personally think that we're likely to go to war with Iraq sometime in the next year. I think that's unrelated to this. I think President Bush has decided to do that. In fact, this scandal, this crisis, this political problem could push that further back past the election.
Ah, EJ, you agree with that?
Well, I think the president has decided to do this or is very close to deciding to do this. I think the fact that you even ask that question is where the administration has a problem. David would say, and I probably agree with him, that it would be unfair to use wag the dog kind of language if this comes up. But the fact that the country's mind is now focused on economics means that it will occur to people, why are we doing this now? And that's why he probably does have to kick it down the road. I think that when David talks about whether these stories about President Bush or Vice President Cheney's business dealings have an effect, I think their effect is that they fit into a narrative that is harmful to the Republicans. It will only reinforce this image of an administration too tied to CEOs, corporate elites, which they were very proud of a year ago, but they're not talking about so much now.
Are we at a point now with George W. Bush in which he finds himself in the same danger his father, the president, did, falling into the trap that gulped up Bush, the Bush 1 administration, strong in foreign policy, but pretty shaky domestically because of the economy?
I think there's some truth to that, in part because I think this is a pure Teddy Roosevelt moment. If he were president today, he could fight a war and he could crack down on Wall Street scoundrels. Bush has adopted half the Roosevelt life. He has not quite adopted the domestic Roosevelt, but sooner or later he will. And I think then the Republicans will have an affirmative agenda. The thing that is saving Bush right now and may save him is, in my opinion, the last 2 weeks, the Democratic Party has flipped its lid. It's tarring big business with such broad strokes. It's like they've forgotten everything they learned in the 1990s under Bill Clinton about being a new Democrat. You take most Democratic speeches about corporations these days, these speeches would be expunged from a Ralph Nader conference for being too extreme. They really have gone back to some sort of weird paleo-liberal roots, which I think is going to end up possibly scaring people.
Do you see it that way, EJ?
No, I actually think it's the Democrats giving the Teddy Roosevelt speeches that David and I like so much. I think it's a big mistake to see speeches against corporate abuse as being anti-business. In fact, you have a whole lot of investors, Warren Buffett being one of the best known, who themselves want to reform this system. So I don't think it makes you anti-business to give speeches against corporate abuse. And it doesn't even, to go to David's point, make you Ralph Nader.
Hmm. The members of Congress are going home to their districts. They're thinking about the upcoming elections a few months away. How much, what do you think about the political fallout from this, David?
I think it's quite possible. As I said, there are so far, if you look at the polls, if you ask voters, who would you like to see control Congress after the next election, it's still dead even. So far, there's been no political fallout. But that's because it's July. People see the stock market falling. They're not thinking politically, so they haven't connected to that. Mm-hmm. History is full of examples where one party is doing fine until 10 days before the election, and then the bottom falls out.
Mm-hmm. EJ, your best advice to Democrats and Republicans up for re-election or election?
Well, I think the thing Republicans have to worry about is their own success in 1994 in using the summertime to set the frame for the election. If the election is framed by the issues we're talking about now, the Republicans are in a great deal of trouble. I have been pondering a great slogan used by Arlen Specter and another Republican called Tom Gola. We need these guys to watch those guys. They were Republicans running against a Democratic machine. In this case, I think the Democrats can make a case that the public would want them because they don't want unified Republican government, and those guys can also be the corrupt corporate types. I think it's going to be hard for Republicans to do what David wants them to do to beat Teddy Roosevelt, because in their heart of hearts right now, the Republican Party is much more a William McKinley party than it is a Teddy Roosevelt party.
Thank you, gurus. E.J. Dionne, a columnist for The Washington Post and senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. David Brooks, senior editor at The Weekly Standard.
Thank you.
Thank you.